Abundance. What a great theme for the day. As we're continuing to gather the abundance of our lives to offer to those better able to use it through our annual rummage sale. In our Old Testament lesson from 2 Kings, a man following God's command offers 20 loaves and some fresh grain to Elisha to celebrate his harvest. And miraculously, 100 are fed with leftovers. From the letter to the Ephesians, we hear one of the most beautiful and powerful prayers of the New Testament, one readily familiar to those who read evening prayer, a prayer we pray together to close each service. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And the gospel, it's filled with abundance on several levels, an abundance of healing, an abundance of faith, an abundance of food. Do you remember that the story of the feeding of the 5,000 appears in all four gospels? As such, it was very important to the early church and informs the understanding of the Eucharistic meal to this day. But though sharing the same basic outline, each version also includes some unique details of their own. For example, specific to John, the one we just heard, is the mention of the events we heard about today occurring near the time of the Passover. In John, significant events happen near three Passovers, giving the church its tradition that Jesus' public ministry lasted 3 years. A second detail found only in John is that the loaves offered to feed the crowd were made of barley, the grain used by the poorest people, those who had the least. The part of the story told in verses 5 through 9 is where I'd really like to focus our attention this morning. Recall that section with me. A large crowd has come to Jesus and the disciples seeking healing and transformative intervention for themselves and those they love. Jesus asks Philip how they, the disciples, will respond to the physical needs of the crowd. Philip responds from a location of scarcity. He sees only the lack. Even if there was enough bread available, we could never afford it. And then a small voice, a child's voice, speaks up to offer his lunch. Meager though it was, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, he offered it to Jesus for him to use for all. And incredibly, when thanks were given for the offering and it passed through Jesus' hands, there was enough. In fact, there was more than enough. Abundance in the face of scarcity. This lesson is so important to us all, as much now as it ever has been. It's easy to believe we're living in a period of unimagined scarcity, that there isn't enough to go around. Not enough money. Not enough water, not enough food, not enough resources, not enough, not enough. It's easy to share the mindset of Philip and Andrew, but what are they among so many? The need is so overwhelming, so great. How could the little I have to offer have any hope of making a difference? The secret is in the actions of the small boy who willingly offered up what he had to Jesus to use as he could. The generous boy didn't try to figure out how his offering could be made to address the needs of the crowd. No, he gave freely, confident that Jesus would use it to attend to the needs of all. He knew instinctively in his innocence that we need to be constantly reminded of. Our God is a God of abundance. Anything for which we thank God and offer for God's use will be made to benefit 100-fold. often in ways we never could have imagined. But how do we learn to be that little boy again? Elsewhere in Scripture, we're admonished to be born again if we want to be part of the kingdom of heaven. If we're to successfully be born again, this time of the Spirit, it's crucial that we seriously pursue becoming a child again in this area of scarcity and abundance. Personally, I need to intentionally pray daily to become more compassionate. Part of that same prayer is to thank God for the vast abundance in which I live and move and have my being. I also ask God to not only open my eyes to opportunities through which I can ripple out my abundance for the shalom life of others, but I also thank the Holy Spirit who prompts me to actually engage those opportunities. We're part of a society that worships stuff, not just locally, but globally. For we've been exceedingly successful in exporting the gospel of consumerism, a message that's based at its heart upon acquisitiveness. A scarcity mindset seems integral to the success of the current economy of the world. No wonder things are in such a mess. We're conditioned in every area of our lives to see things through the eyes of scarcity so that we'll always be trying to accumulate more, whether we truly need it or not. And because things are scarce, we also better acquire extra and hoard as much as we can before someone else gets it first, just in case there isn't enough. And the vicious cycle feeds upon us and we feed upon each other. But how would the world look if we committed ourselves to living from the place of abundance, our unconditionally generous God makes possible? What if, like the little boy in our story, we took what we have and offered it to Jesus for his use? Jesus will do no less for us than he did for the needy crowd that gathered so long ago. Jesus will channel God's transformative power through whatever we offer, our time, our skills, our love, and even our money, for the benefit of all, and the abundance will ripple out so far beyond ourselves that we may never see where those waves of benefit stop. Think of how not just your life, but also the lives of so many others could be different, could be better. Think about the many gifts in your abundant life. You may not be rich with money, but maybe you're rich with talent. Maybe it's skills or training that are your gifts. Or maybe it's love that you have to offer. It really doesn't matter, for Jesus needs it all to further God's reign on this earth. I don't in any way wish to minimize the very real suffering and abject lack of so many in the world today. What I do want to do is witness to you that we need not and should not be paralyzed into inaction by the seemingly overwhelming needs that confront us or by specters of unabated scarcity. Just as Jesus, the little boy, and the disciples worked together to feed 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, we too can manifest the confidence in God that all Christians should embody through a life lived from a place of abundance. I guess the simplest way to describe it would be to say that we're called to live glasses half full lives in all areas of our lives. I'll be the first one to tell you that this change in perspective to, shall we call it, the kingdom perspective, isn't easy. But I'll also testify to you that it is possible. As with everything else, the Holy Spirit is with us every step of the way, and at least in my case, provides correctives when I'm in danger of losing my abundance perspective. I'll also reassure you that an abundance mindset is much more productive, restorative, and life-giving than that of the scarcity mindset of the world. Generosity, compassion, and joy flow out of a life centered in God's abundance. This is the kind of life we were made to share and enjoy, a shalom life, a life filled with sufficiency, peace, well-being, and joy. This is what God wants for us and what we should want for others. This is the life that our offerings, in their abundance of variety, and as transformed through Jesus' blessing and intervention, can make possible for us to share with others. Yes, this is a tough year, but aren't they all in some way? Job market's crazy, money's still tight, lack continues to abound, but we're so greatly blessed. We live and move and have our being within God's vast abundance. There is enough if we'll not only view, but also act from the kingdom perspective. We don't need to fear scarcity or become paralyzed by the need outside our door. We don't have to solve the problems by ourselves. All we have to do is offer up whatever we do have to Jesus. He'll take care of transforming our loaves and fish for the greatest good of all. So, can you, will you, join that little boy and embrace abundance? Certainly the crowd is waiting. Whatever your loaves are made of, whatever kind of fish are in your basket, I urge you to act in confidence. Offer what you have to Jesus, and then watch the miracles of abundance unfold before you. Amen.